Why did he do this? Because the disciples knew that he had been pierced in his hands on the cross. They also knew that the official executioner had stuck a spear in the side of Jesus to make sure he was dead. And so he shows them the proof of the resurrection, that he is alive, and that he paid the penalty and the price for them to be set free, for them to have peace, not only with themselves, but most importantly with God. And so, as you see this, perhaps they were reminded of Isaiah 53:5, which says, he was wounded for our transgressions, and by his stripes we are healed. And so, the empty cross and the empty tomb is God's way of telling us that the debt has been paid. The empty cross and the empty tomb is a focal point for us as followers of Christ, of a place of victory. But with that victory, we can experience a peace that this world cannot offer. And so again, he is showing who he is. He is showing he is the resurrected Christ. He is showing he has power over death. And when that happens, there is a peace that can permeate our hearts as followers of Christ. This is not a fairy tale. It is not wishful thinking. I know some of your stories, and I know some of your heartaches that some of you guys have gone through, but I've also known how you've experienced the peace of God in the midst of the storm, just as because Jesus shows up. Just like he showed up in the midst of the worst day of these guys' lives. And he says, peace be with you. As a follower of Christ, that peace is always available. One of the times for my own self when I experienced this peace was when I experienced my father and his passing, of him going home to be with the Lord. It's kind of crazy. I was actually here. I was in Wake Forest. Kim and I had left my dad and traveled up here to find a house to move to Winston-Salem to start the ministry here of Athletes in Action. I get a phone call from my brother, and he says, you need to come home now. Dad is in the hospital, and he's had a massive heart attack. It's kind of crazy because the night before, I had been with my father, had talked with him. I'd heard him in the middle of the night actually throwing up and went in to check on him, and he thought he had the flu. But come to find out later, he had actually had a heart attack that night. I saw him that morning. I wanted to say, make sure you're okay. He says, yeah, I just got the flu. Go on. Find your place. Call me later. But those were the last times I would ever see my dad alive. And I say that because I come back and I'm with my brother, and we're in the emergency room, and they have him back there, and the family's left. Everybody's left. It's just me and my brother. And it's about 3 a.m. And the code goes off in the emergency room for them to come, that someone needs to be revived. And it was my father. But they couldn't revive him. But in the midst of that, I knew that my father was going home to be with the Lord because he was a follower of Christ. And my brother, who actually led me to faith, and I were standing there, grieving greatly, hurting tremendously, but Jesus showed up. I can't explain it any more than these disciples could explain it, but they knew the reality of it. And I really felt the peace that goes beyond understanding in the midst of one of the most terrifying days of my life. You see, Christianity is, again, not about rules and regulations. It's about the relationship with Christ himself. The rules don't bring peace. Jesus brings peace. And that's what these disciples are experiencing. And as we look further, I want you to understand and see the commission of the king as we close out. So he brings peace again in verse 21 after he shows them his scars that he took for them to have peace. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So what I want you to see, he paid a price, but now we have the commission of the King, of the Prince of Peace. He's giving the disciples, not only restoring them, he's giving them a mission. He says, go with authority. He says, I also send you, just as my Father sent me. And so as we think about what did the Father do, how did he send the Son? Jesus went to the people. He lived with the people. His critics even says he goes to supper with sinners and prostitutes. But Jesus came to his creation to bring the good news that he was the Prince of Peace. He didn't shout it from afar, which he could have. He didn't show up as a king in a palace. No, he went to the people. And so now he is challenging his disciples to do the same. He says, just as the Father sent me, I am sending you. And what do we see? What do they do this? He says, go with power. You see, Jesus is sending these disciples. They're not going on their own accord. They're going with the commission of God himself, with the authority. I don't know how many of you have actually ever been pulled over by a state trooper. I have, unfortunately, more than once. Because they had the authority to do it. They were working for the state of North Carolina. I say that because when we go as followers of Christ, we're not going in our own name. We're not going in the name of Athletes in Action. We're not going in the name of a certain church. As a follower of Christ, we take the peace of God to the world with the authority of Christ himself. And that's what he gives these men to do. He says to go with the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the breath of God in Genesis gave life to man. And now, the breath of Christ gives new spiritual life to us and to his disciples. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Lord doesn't call us to do what he will not empower us to do. He's called his disciples. He's called us to make a difference in the world, but he gives you the power to do it. You see, they would carry the message of the gospel of peace, and God would declare peace to all who would believe. They've now seen Jesus in a new way, a way they had not experienced before. They have seen and experienced the resurrected Christ. What does this do? How does this impact them? The disciples would proclaim forgiveness to all who believe and condemnation to those who didn't believe. And if you read the book of Acts, you see what Jesus tells these men to do played out in the book of Acts. I also want to share with you this. I believe this story is one of the greatest evidence for the validity of the resurrection and for the Christian faith. I believe we see that because how these disciples respond. Because these men who were at one moment before the peace of God and the resurrection of Christ entered into the room, were afraid to even go outside. They weren't telling anybody about their relationship with Jesus. They weren't telling anybody about what they had done for the last 3 years. They were afraid. But what happens soon after? They go and teach to the very ones who crucified Christ and speak of the resurrected Savior. They place themselves in danger, but there's no fear because the Prince of Peace has given them power to be who they were created to be. And so now, as we look at that, that's why I say it's one of the greatest evidence for the truth of the resurrection. It's not a theory, it's not a story, it's not a made-up tale because of the reality of what took place. You know, church tradition and church history tells us this about the disciples. All of them would give their life. All of them become martyrs of the faith except for John, who would die in a prison on the Isle of Patmos because of his faith. Andrew, it is said, was crucified on an X-shaped cross. Bartholomew, they said, was filleted alive, literally. James was beheaded. Peter was also on an upside-down cross. These men died because they believed and they knew the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that peace went beyond anything the world could offer. And I said this is important because I believe it continues to prove the resurrection is true. Because a lot of people will die for a lie if they don't know it's a lie. But if the resurrection was a lie, why would they give their life to that lie? If they made up this story, if they got together as a group of disciples and say, we've got to come up with some reason to exist now. We've got to come up with a new religion. We've got to come up with a new faith. Because we spent our last 3 years doing this, and now Jesus is gone, what are we going to do? And then when they come to arrest them, when they come to crucify them, when they come to behead them, they're going to run and say, hey, we made it up. But because of the truth of it, their walk with Christ, their relationship with Christ, and the truth of the resurrection was more powerful than anything the world could threaten. And so it speaks of the validity of the truth of the faith. So where does this leave us? From fear to courage. Jesus still comes to us. He still reassures us, and he still commissions us. The question for us is, how will we respond to him? We see, if you read the story, if you continue to read the book of Acts, you will see how the disciples responded to Jesus' commission, how they lived their life. We're still talking about them today, over 2,000 years later, because they believe and acted on the words of Christ. The disciples made an eternal impact. You know, I was thinking about this too. At the beginning of the day, they didn't know what their destination would be. By the end of this day, they would know the one who held their destiny in his hands. And the one who was and is victorious over death. They started out in a place of confusion. They ended in a place of praise. We never know what today holds. But if you're a follower of Christ, you can trust the one who holds the days. And that's what these disciples learned to do. So again, I leave you with these two thoughts. Do you know about Jesus? Or do you know Jesus? There's a difference. We can know about somebody. You can know about your favorite athlete, your hero in your sport, but that doesn't mean you know him. And I think a lot of people know about Jesus. These disciples knew Jesus. And the great thing is, it's available to all of us here, not just to know about Jesus, but to know him, to walk with him, and experience the peace of the Prince of Peace, who gives you courage over fear in the chaos of what we call day-to-day life. So I hope today, go back, read the story, read the next, Jesus comes and he meets with Peter again. It's a beautiful story about fishing. I love to fish, so I like fishing stories in the Bible. But how Jesus even meets Peter and restores him again and challenges him and encourages him to feed other people and take the message, even though he had denied he even knew Jesus. And Peter goes on to become one of the leaders of the church because he experienced the peace of God, the power of God, and obeyed the commission of Christ.